We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Dr. Lacey Coppins Robbins. Experience in the field of education and nonprofit management offers the foundation for Dr. Lacey Coppins Robbins' career. She has served the local Milwaukee community and abroad through her visual practice, as well as in her role as executive director for a local nonprofit education company. In 2017, she and her husband founded Robbins Nest Consulting, an affiliate. DrLacey.com supports current and aspiring female leaders to go from process to practice through education and empowerment. Dr. Lacey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today, to be able to chat with you, to chat with your listeners. It's going to be a great time and really excited to be able to share.
Cool. It is definitely going to be an awesome show. And I know networking is something that you like to talk about. So we're going to have a good conversation today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So busy professional like yourself wearing many hats just in the past and now, I imagine that you've got a busy day consistently, right? What's the one thing you always do to prepare for the day ahead?
Absolutely. Every single day is jam-packed, and I have to stay organized. If it's not on the calendar, it does not exist.
Amen.
And that includes not only professionally, but also personally for my family. We have got to remain organized. And so my day usually actually begins pretty early, anywhere between 5 and 6 a.m. I like to be able to have some quiet time before the house awakes, be able to either meditate, pray, be able to give a chance for myself to possibly get a workout in every once in a while. Sometimes that I tend to miss on that one. And then I just dive right into my daily read. So I always have five big key things that I tap into every single day. Forbes magazine, whatever the article of the day might be, Harvard Business Review, along with The Skim, as well as CNN's Top 5. And so I delve into those, and that really brings me up to date as to what's happening around the world, both via political as well as pop culture, and then I'm ready to get going.
Wow. I'm tired just hearing what your morning sounds like already. But I actually can resonate with that a little bit. I'm a huge fan of The Miracle Morning.
Oh, nice.
Have you read that book? Hal Elrod. So he advocates meditation and reading and journaling and exercise as part of a daily routine. So it sounds like you're doing half of that already.
I'm trying my very best. It really is what allows me to do what I focus on each day. Mm-hmm. And then also everything in the household has its own day.
Yep.
And so if it's something, my husband is a pastor, so if it's something that deals with the church, it's like a Sunday or a Tuesday. You got to put it on the Sunday or Tuesday agenda. It has to wait.
Wow. Good. Thanks for sharing that with us. So what gives you the drive, or how do you stay motivated to keep doing this on a consistent basis?
So for me, really, and I like to think of it as my Gandhi moment, it was sitting in a meeting with the State Department and looking around the room. And not only was I one of the few women at the table, but I was also the only woman of color at the table. And this really sparked in me like, wow, I have got to do something about this. And it's not enough for me to make it to the table, to be at the head of the table, but I have got to be able to bring my sister along with me, right? Mm-hmm. And so what spurs me on, what keeps me motivated is really those conversations that I have with other aspiring leaders, current leaders. Just recently, having dinner with various executive directors from around town, that's what keeps me motivated to continue in this journey, knowing that it's not just for myself, but I am my sister's keeper. Mm-hmm. And it's really about pulling them along the way. way.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about Robin's Nest Consulting and what you and your husband are doing there.
Yes. So it actually has two legs to it. My leg is drlacey.com, and it's supporting current and aspiring female leaders. So really being able to offer education, empowerment, practical tools and tips that they can turn around and use from the classroom to the boardroom. Because oftentimes you may read things or you might hear of this is the way to do it, but it's not necessarily grounded in best practices. So my background is actually, I have a master's degree in leadership as well as a doctorate's degree in leadership with an emphasis in neuroscience.
Wow.
So when I say I went to school to do this, I literally went to school to do this.
Wow.
But then I couple that with my experience both as an educator as well as a nonprofit leader and director. All of those coupled together really allow me to better support other female leaders, those who are looking to go into the field of leadership as well. Mm-hmm. And then on my husband's end, his focus is war management, which are his initials, and he's really supporting the 49 and under youth ministers, people aspiring to go into ministry, and other church plants as
okay.
well.
Wow. Fantastic. It does sound like a busy plate.
Yeah, our plate is very full. We have sideboards on our plates. But it's something for us. Everything is about pouring back into the communities that we're in. He's a transplant to Milwaukee. I moved back to Milwaukee and from Europe in 2009.
Wow.
And so it's very much let's bloom where we're planted. And if we want to see the difference in our city, we want to see the changes in our city, we have to be the ones to do so. As
Absolutely.
Former President Obama said, we are the change that we're waiting for.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm sure you've got a lot of fuel for your activities. Coffee or tea? What keeps you moving?
So here recently, I am like addicted, and that's a very strong word, mm-hmm. but I believe it's true, to Starbucks coconut milk mocha macchiato. That is like the best thing ever, and it's... You know, it's now changed over to hazelnut instead of coconut milk. And every time I walk up, I'm still hoping that they'll be able to prepare it because I don't know if it's going to roll off the menu or not. But that is definitely, like, right now, that's my go-to.
Nice. Okay. I do have a couple favorites myself. The dirty chai is kind of the most common one that I order.
Nice. And see, I call myself like a grounded colectivo kind of girl,
okay.
you know. But I cannot tell a lie, that coconut milk macchiato, mocha macchiato, yes, for the win.
I have not tried it yet, and I will make a note that the next time I do,
yes.
I'll give it a run for its money at least.
Think of me.
Absolutely. Okay, so today's conversation obviously is around the topic of networking. And my goal is to really remove the fear that mm-hmm. individuals have when they hear that word networking.
Mm-hmm.
So can you share with our listeners your favorite networking story or experience that you've had?
Absolutely. I totally agree when it comes to networking. I see it as making money moves. And so when oftentimes people, they paralyze, they get fear because how do I approach someone, right?
Uh-huh.
So I like to think of myself as a connector as opposed to the person seeking out to make the networks, right? So one example might be I find myself at an event. This literally just happened a few months ago.
Okay.
I was having a conversation with another nonprofit executive director in town, and they have a huge project that's coming up. And I asked her, I said, well, who are you using for your marketing team? She's like, oh, we don't have one. What? Stop the presses.
Uh-huh.
I know exactly who you need to meet, and she's here at this event.
Nice.
So it was a great way for me to run across, grab her. They had not met. They did not know of each other. But so myself being able to be that connector, it allows me to be in the know and it allows my network to continue to grow. So I receive DMs all the time. I receive phone calls asking me, hey, Dr. Lacey, I'm looking for a connection with fill in the blank, right? XYZ. Do you know someone who's in that field or someone you can connect me with? And 9 times out of 10, I do.
Yeah.
You know, again, I've just been back in the city since 2009. And since coming back in town, I've worked in various networks, all of them, though, however, nonprofits. And so it's really been a chance to continue to leverage those networks and to build them.
Nice. So I love the story of the connectors. And I heard from one of my guests a while back They referred to it as the hubs and spokes approach, and that they considered themselves a hub because everyone would come to them and then, you know, you'd connect them with a different spoke. And I just love that analogy. And it's so fun connecting with other connectors or hubs. Right. And it's just, there's so much magic that can happen.
Absolutely.
That's great. And I love that the story you shared at the end of the day did not have a financial impact to you, but you created some wins because you helped someone generate new business and helped someone fulfill a hole that they needed filled.
Absolutely. And that's exactly my approach. Mm-hmm. I look at it as I plant a seed for today, and I might be the only person that plants that seed, and the next person comes along and waters it, and the next person, it helps it to bloom and grow, right? And so while I may not have receive the direct financial gain, the fact that these are two people who I know are doing awesome things for the city that are dynamic women in leadership as well, something I'm very passionate about. Of course, I want to connect them together because I want them to be successful.
That's great. And you kind of were talking about nurturing. You know, you didn't say the word there. You know, planting the seed and letting it grow. But networking, a vital part is nurturing that network, right? So what do you do to stay in front of and best nurture your network?
So the biggest thing that I always remind women that I have a chance to consult with, and some men happen to slip in there every once in a while as well, is that you must be present. It's not enough for you to just meet the individual. So you have your pre-work, you have your network, and then you have your post-work that takes place. So my pre-work is always derived with, if I know I'm on my way to an event, who's going to be at that event that I want to make sure I make connection with? You have to go with a plan or a goal in mind, right?
Yes.
Oftentimes where people miss the mark is they attend these different events and they're in their phone the entire time. That walk from the car to the event or the ride on the elevator, that's where the authentic connections are made.
Totally.
And it's not about, well, what do you do? Well, I do this. Well, that's boring, right? Mm-hmm. So really, it's your chance to ask the person like, well, what brought you here today or what sparked your interest in attending this event? Folks love to talk about themselves.
Yep.
And so you give them the opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I found the best way to nurture my network is simply by doing that. It's by being present. It's by doing my pre-work so that when I get to the event, I already know these are the key people I want to make sure I connect with. This person looks interesting to me. And it's really important, too, to also leverage out of your employment levels, right? So I'm not always looking to solely connect with other entrepreneurs or other people who are in education or executive directors, but I'm really thinking like, oh, you're an engineer. Tell me more.
Uh-huh.
And using that because you never know who they may know.
Sure.
And that just helps to also, from a selfish perspective, build my connections and my networks as well.
Absolutely. Well, the hub and spoke,
hub
right?
And spoke. There we go.
So you said the pre-work, the network, and then the post-work.
And
you didn't really dive into that too much. So let's talk about that.
Yes, the post-work. That's where the real work actually begins. So the post-work, you know, you go to these events. It might be a luncheon, for example. You gather up your pocket full of business cards.
Sure, yep.
And for most people, that's where it ends, right?
Yep.
It goes, it sits there on the table. They never pick them back up again. But the post-work is following up with an email, following up with a phone call. That really throws people when you pick up the phone and call them.
Yep.
But doing so in about 24 to 48 hours. That's when the lead is the hottest. That's when they will most likely remember you.
Mm-hmm.
But in that email follow-up, if you choose to use that, make sure you remind them, this is where we met. This is where we made that connection, right? And offer them 2 to 3 options as to where you can continue the conversation and your reasoning behind continuing the conversation. So one of the things that I'll often say, because, you know, I come across people who aren't necessarily in my same network, in my same employment level or industry, is I'll say, I'd love to connect with you so I can learn more, or if nothing else, for an opportunity to support another leader.
Yes.
And so you never know what might they come from that as far as spurring on additional conversations. So one thing I know from a personal perspective that's happened to me is meeting someone in the wedding industry, of which I have no affiliation with, But it turned out she was on the board of a very large philanthropic group here in town. Well, that's great. I would love to be able to connect with her and be able to pick her brain because in my role as an executive director, we're constantly writing grants, writing to foundations. There might be some insights and ideas that she has that can better assist me in my process.
Absolutely. Wow, you've given us some really juicy materials, and I can see how, as you said, you're offering practical tools and tips, and you just gave some amazing tips to our listeners Yay. On the post-work side. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
What advice would you offer that business professional who's really looking to grow their network?
So the biggest thing to consider is how you can leverage your connections. Leverage the connections that you already have that you may not realize that are there, and use that leverage to build relationships. Stephen Covey said people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And no one likes to feel used, right? Mm-hmm. No one likes to feel like, well, you just want to connect with me so that you can get to.
Sure.
But by leveraging and building those relationships, this really allows you to start to extend and deepen your networks. Right. And then I often will caution people because we can become very, very siloed and, you know, the C-suite, for example, or the president and CEOs, the executive directors. We don't want to affiliate or associate ourselves with anyone else. Right. But that's a huge mistake that we often will make. It's really important to delve beyond your employment level.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to people who are below and above your employment level. If you are middle management, that's the hardest role to be in any industry. Is middle management. And so when you start to go outside of those employment levels, that's really where you start to stretch yourself. You start to stretch your own networks. You start to make deeper connections and relationships. And another thing is to remember to go outside of your own business sectors. It's a great way to start to make those connections and allows you then to start to be the connector for other people. So again, my typical silos can be education, nonprofit management, the arts. And so when I start to delve outside, I love going to an event and I don't see anyone that I know.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, it's about to be a party.
Well, it can be a little scary too, right?
It can be a little scary.
There's so many interesting people on this planet, right? And everyone's got an interesting story to share.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I want to talk about that fear for a minute.
Okay.
Because a lot of people, they do freeze up, right? Because I'm not good at networking. I'm not good at talking to strangers. Believe it or not, I'm actually an introvert. And a lot of people find that hard to believe.
I don't believe that, just from what I know about you already.
But I am. And an introvert means how you obtain your power, right? Your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I have to go inside and then branch out, right? And so I do better, personally speaking, this for all my introverts out there, having those small one-to-one conversations, huddled up in the corner, the walk up the, you know, down to the event, the ride up the escalator, the ride up the elevator. Those are your chances to start to build those little bitty connections and a safe and comfortable way to do so.
Totally. Yes, that's fantastic. I think you're describing like the introverted extrovert or something like that, isn't
right.
there?
I'm right on the line.
Okay.
So I'm actually trained in Myers-Briggs temperament inventory.
Oh, okay.
And so if like my own letters, I'm literally my own test right on the line so I can live in both worlds.
Okay. I can appreciate that. I'm definitely in the middle space on, I feel like every single test I take.
Right, I'm just in the middle. Right in the middle.
I loved how you said stretch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's there's a lot of truth to that. And so many individuals stick to their comfort zone and don't reach beyond that you know, that circle of comfort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well said. Okay, so you've mentioned the DMs, which for the non-technically savvy individuals means direct message on a social channel. But you've talked a lot about attending events, right? So there's a combination here of those digital and traditional networking opportunities, and it sounds like you have a healthy balance of both. Which one do you find more value in?
You know, it's actually both because it really connects to what is your intention. Mm-hmm. You have to have a plan, be intentional in everything that you do. And so for myself, I actually will leverage the social aspect of networking to see who is going to be at that event. Who is it that I want to be able to connect with? Who do I want to follow up with? I've had the chance to like LinkedIn, for example, is a great way to message people. The position that I have as an executive director, I actually message the previous executive director, met with her for coffee before I even interviewed for the position because I wanted to know the backstory of the organization and why she was leaving, right? You've got to do your homework, plain and simple. So by using a combination of both worlds, neither is the best, right? It's really when you couple them together is that you start to have a stronger sense of self and a stronger sense of direction. And by coupling them together, then you can leverage that preparation that you, the time you've put in the pre-work. So you can leverage that and preparation for that face-to-face event. I attend quite a few luncheons. It's just a natural part of everything. And as a part of attending these various luncheons and such, we often will just turn and talk to the person who's directly next to us you may have come with. But again, this is a great time to follow up. How can we continue in our dialogue? How can I build off of, you know, my pre-work that I've done or my preparation for my post-work by grabbing their card?
Yeah. That's fantastic. I love the way that you really focused on what is your intention. And really having a plan and a strategy is so important. And then leveraging all aspects that digital and traditional have to help, you know, get your goal accomplished at the end of the day or supporting others if that is part of your goal.
Absolutely.
Well stated. All right. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
So 20 years ago, I was actually teaching third grade in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow, fun.
I know. And, you know, I'm older than I look. And I think the biggest thing I would tell myself would be to explore more. I, after teaching 1 year, jumped right back in and got my master's in leadership. And, you know, when I look back, I think to myself, maybe I should have waited a little bit longer. You know, perhaps I should have considered some additional options. I'm a third generation educator. So maybe I should have taken the time to explore a little bit more. You know, perhaps I wouldn't have just jumped right back in there for the master's degree. So that's what I would tell myself. Explore a little bit more.
Okay, that's good. Exploration is definitely helpful. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
So that is a really tough question for me because I do not believe it exists, especially in the age that we live in now. I am so quick to slide into the DM, the direct message via, and here's a ninja move. That's what I like to call it for my followers.
I love it. Okay, good.
A ninja move for those people who are on Twitter. And if you're not on Twitter, shame on yourself. Get on Twitter now.
Yes.
It's the easiest way to get a lot of information in a short amount of time, especially if you're trying to catch up on your reading, right? But most times, those higher level people, they actually manage their own Twitter accounts.
Yes, this is very true.
Typically, when someone is, you know, of a higher ranking, their Facebook accounts or even their Instagram, it might be managed by someone else, right? An admin, an executive assistant. But their Twitter, they typically will manage that themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because that is the case, when you slide into the DM, when you message them, make sure you're intentional.
Yes.
Be very explicit and be brief because you have like 10 seconds of their attention before they either don't open it at all or totally delete it. So if this was me, perhaps I'm going to slide into your DM, Lori. I might say something like, "Hi, I'm Dr. Lacey, and I'd love to be able to connect with you all around networking and how you can leverage it to move from process to practice." And that might be all I say. I'm hoping I would spark some curiosity for you.
Sure.
You know, I might even go on a little bit further and invite you for coffee or conversation, ask you to be my guest, see if I can continue forward with some sort of dialogue back and forth.
Yeah, that's great. Again, another practical tip for our listeners, right?
Absolutely.
You're just full of all these juicy nuggets, aren't you?
Yes, I love helping people to be able to go to the next level, or as the my niece's generation says, to level up.
Level up, you know, to be able
to level up.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Super Mario Brothers right now when you said that, but I am not part of that generation, right, no. Obviously. Mm-mm,
no, that's why I gave the qualifier. Okay. I don't want to, you know, discredit myself here.
I appreciate that. And now you know what generation I'm from.
Right.
Okay. As an educator and a business professional, especially with a strong background in leadership, I imagine that you are constantly reading, as most business professionals are. So I'm always curious what book my guests are currently reading.
Yeah, so as you know, I already shared my daily practice, but I'm actually reading two books right now.
Okay.
Really kind of three, but two books for sure. The first one is The War of Art.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you are familiar with it. It's by Stephen Pressfield, and it's really for my fellow creatives out there, but it pertains to anyone. Okay. And it's all about helping you to move past the roadblocks, get past the procrastination. I'm sure none of your listeners are procrastinators.
Lori. No one is.
You know, no one is a procrastinator. But for those of us who are.
Sure, yeah.
It's a way to really help you break through, and it's very practical. It's a super quick read. You could probably read it like in a day if you're really motivated.
Cool.
Definitely a weekend. But for when I find myself getting stuck, that's what I pick back up. And when I'm thinking about this time of the year, it's budget season.
Yep.
We're looking to start to hire staff, you know, those sort of things. It's a way to kind of spur me along.
Okay.
The second book is actually a textbook.
Okay.
And it's The Skillful Leader. The Skillful Leader, Transforming Ineffective Teams. Now, I will read books like this, not that I'm working with ineffective teams, but I'm constantly consulting various types of people.
Sure.
And so I want to be able to have as many things in my cadre as possible.
Totally.
For your listeners, if you're working with a coach or a consultant, there is a difference, first of all. And if you're working with either one and they have to have a number of things in their wheelhouse that they can pull from, and if they're sharing information with you that you basically have heard before or know all of this, you may want to consider your other options.
Yes.
And so part of the reason like I'll read something like that is so that I can stay ahead of the game to be able to best support the teams that I work mm-hmm. with.
Wow, that's really very insightful piece of information. And I want to speak on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
First, I want to see if you can share for my own benefit, but also our listeners, how you would differentiate a coach versus a consultant.
So a coach isn't necessarily the expert in a subject matter, whereas a consultant typically is.
Okay.
A coach is going to guide you along the process, spur you along the process, typically with questioning techniques. They may assign you various tasks to do to help you to guide you to a place of resolution, right? But a consultant, on the other hand, they are typically very learned. They're a skilled expert in whatever the content is, and they're coming in to do more of a directive, more of rather than always that guide on the side, more of that sage on the stage, right?
Okay.
So, and by being that consultant, when you bring in a consultant to work with you, they're going to be able to do some sort of needs assessment,
sure,
and then be able to articulate how they can best assist you in meeting those needs.
Okay. Really, really helpful. I've not heard that defined or separated by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never thought of it before.
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, people use them interchangeably often.
Yes.
Very often.
I do agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that you brought that up.
Yeah, my pleasure.
The other thing I do want to bring up, because I agree with you 100%, and I, again, appreciate that you are continuing to educate yourself, is that the coaching space that I've experienced is they only know this box of information, mm-hmm. and then there's a recycling factor that starts to happen. So mm-hmm. then I've learned that on average, I get about a year to a year and a half out of each coach that I work with.
Oh, interesting.
And mm-hmm. then I've moved on to learn more.
Right.
So
right.
I can definitely relate to that. And I've encouraged others too, not only for the sense of how much information your coach is sharing, but to get different perspective.
Absolutely.
So I do advocate changing up the coaching consulting relationships for that very reason.
Absolutely. And do your homework. Ask around.
Yes.
You know, every consultant or every coach isn't for everyone. My approach as a consultant may be very different than what an individual might need, uh-huh. right? I'm very direct, but I am a nurturer.
Okay.
And so, but for some people, they may need a little less nurturing and more of a swift kick in the pants, right?
Yep.
And so you have to know yourself. And that's part of, if it's a coach or a consultant, they should be able to help you identify that first, because yes. it really starts with mindset,
yep.
and then you build from there.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Dr. Lacey, do you have any final word or advice to our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you so much for having me here today. This has been so much fun. Definitely a walk down memory lane and just a great conversation. So
Absolutely.
I want to offer that and say that first.
Well, thank you.
And the second thing I want to offer in response to your question is to really to remind listeners to think of every new contact as the opening of a door to a new network.
I like that.
So every new contact opens the door to a new network. And so when people start to think of it in that regard, they don't shun any new contact that might come their way. Don't get caught in the silos. Get out of the silos. And that would be the biggest piece of advice that I would leave for listeners today.
Oh, I love that. I think that's fantastic. And every new contact opens the door to a new network.
Absolutely.
You don't know who they know.
Right.
There's so much truth to that.
Absolutely.
Really, everyone can be a hub to that spoke mm-hmm. for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, Dr. Lacey, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
Sure. I would love to be able to connect with individuals who are listening today. You can visit my website at www.drlacey.com, and that is LACI.com. So, or you can also email me directly at info@drlacey.com. And of course, you can find me via social media. Slide into my DM, say hello. I'd love to connect with you.
And we will include all of that information in our show notes.
Great.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Good conversation.
Awesome.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Dr. Lacey for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.